We thank you, Lord, that we know, Lord, you are our provider. You want to take care of all our needs, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Lord, that you care for us. You are a father to us. That we, Lord, may connect with you as your children, trusting you and coming to you with our needs. Lord, to know, Lord, that you are always there to provide for our needs and to give us more than abundantly, because, Lord, you have no lack. And so we just praise you and thank you right now, and we give to you, Lord, our tithes and offerings. Lord, you just please receive them, Lord, coming from our hearts. And, Lord, for the one that give this morning and the one that give all through the internet, Lord, there is no difference, Lord. And we just, Lord, believe that as we do and we give to you, Lord, we are going to get back much more than what we have ever given. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can leave them on. Let's see the way it works. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us, Lord, that we may realize, Lord, that you are not far away, that you are right here with us, and that you want to minister to us, provide for our needs, take care of us, Lord, because, Lord, you have everything, and we can come to you for everything. We praise you and thank you, Lord. Open our eyes, open our ears, enable us, Lord, to connect with you, Lord, with our heart, and be able, Lord, to receive the things, Lord, that you give to us this morning, Lord. The gifts that you always, Lord, pour upon us, Lord. And we may be attentive, maybe listening, Lord. We may have ear to hear and eyes to see, Lord, your freedom, your deliverance, your power, and your anointing, breaking, Lord, all the bondages, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, last week, I introduced something that we are going to expand for the next little while. And I'm quite excited because I really feel that this is going to be an exciting year. You know, it's more than just the things we see. God has a plan. And I believe that the plan for this year is great breakthroughs. I mean, we are going to see the world is going to be in darkness more than before. But that doesn't make any difference. Okay. Believers are not in the same place as the others. They can see a different environment, a different area that the other one cannot see. They can be receiving things that the others cannot receive. And so we should be in a place of advantage. Okay. We should get to the place in which we stop limiting God. This was the problem with the children of Israel. They've been delivered with mighty signs by God, supernatural signs. And what did they do? Every situation, they were looking at the problem and making the problem big and God small. And God wasn't pleased with them because they were really missing everything that he was doing and hindering him from being able to do the things he wanted to do. Instead of, making easy for him to do it or making easy for themselves to do it. Because what they were doing, is blocking themselves from receiving. And God was not pleased with that. And they end up dying in the desert. Because of that, except the following generation. That's not God's plan. That's not God's plan for our generation. Okay, so, but we had to get in with the plan. See, well, that's what makes the difference. For us to be sensitive and hearing and be perceiving what is going on in the right way so that we can take that position that we need to have. Because when we have that position, nobody can move us because he's there with us. And so we have to start looking at things in a completely different perspective. Okay, there are going to be difficult times for those in the world. Okay, but those who are with God can have a completely different experience and perspective about what's going on. So if you listen at the news and you believe the news, you are listening only to people who don't understand what's going on, and they are, influencing you to think the way they think. You shouldn't let that happen. You should protect yourself from them. If that means turning off, media, turn them off. If you cannot do it, if you don't have the discernment to protect yourself and to take a position when you hear them speaking, just don't listen to them. Turn them off. Because they are going to take you down with them. When instead God wants to lift you up. God wants to strengthen you. Okay. We have to understand that the battle is going on. Between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Between the spirit and the flesh. Between grace and sin. Between all these things that are negative and the things that are positive. And we have to understand that, what's going on and how to take it and how to look at it and which side to be in. We don't need much information because the Lord has prepared us last year. We covered all the topics that needed to be covered to be ready, to be prepared to be able to take a position. But now is the time to implement it. The time to really start operating in the mind of Christ. And that mind of Christ, the critical part of the mind of Christ, I really touched it last Sunday. And it's not just the understanding, because the understanding in itself doesn't do it. Is the will to do the right thing. Is the will to line yourself up with the Father. Is the will to, the will is not mind. It has to do with the heart. Because that is where your will is based on your judgment of things. And you had to judge things the right way to have the right will. That's what makes the difference. And this is the point of, that makes the difference between going one direction and the other direction. Is the place in which we make decisions. And so that's what's very important for us. In Acts, just when the Holy Spirit came down on the disciples. You know, with signs and tongues and tongues of fire and everything else. You know, Peter started preaching with an anointing that didn't have before. Maybe I believe even with an understanding that didn't have before, because he was anointed. And when you are anointed, you understand things in a different way. And the things he came up with was, you know, the prophecy from Joel in chapter 2, verse 28 and following. And he essentially said it word by word. You know, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, or say God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. See, the implication is, I mean, God has the Holy Spirit, you know, in a greater way from the baptism, you know, from the time when the Holy Spirit came down. The Holy Spirit has been, to a degree, always around. It's not that there was something new, but, you know, with Jesus sending it back, and the way we receive it is completely different from the day of Pentecost. But now, it says in the last days. The last day began there, but they are coming to the end now. So if there is a last day, and I believe we are there. Amen. And it says, in the last day, you know, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That means, you know, the power of God operating, and it, you know, didn't say on the believers. I mean, it says all flesh. Isn't that interesting? Because at the beginning it came on the believers. But now he's going to come on all flesh. I mean, God is going to work double time on everybody to bring them to the understanding, to open up for this to the Spirit of God. And it's going to be a lot of resistance because there is a lot of darkness. But the Holy Spirit is going to work on them anyway. Are you with me? See, this is the prophecy. So it's not that, we are fighting against all these forces of darkness. No, the Holy Spirit is coming in all power to try to touch, break all the bondages for everybody to open the eyes of people. On all flesh. Including people that think they are believers. And they don't believe anything. Let me continue here. So there is an intensification of the operation of the Holy Spirit that is going to be increasing. If you look at the last 100 years, that's what's happening. I mean, for centuries there was practically, you know, one little thing here and there, but in the last 100 years there is a lot of things going on that weren't going on before. Because the last day were becoming closer to last. To the last. Okay, and here is accelerated even more. Just like darkness is accelerated, so is light. And it says, your son and your daughter shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. And old men shall dream dreams. You know, this is where, so he's talking about actually people having supernatural experiences, spiritual experiences, not just mental religion. Okay, actually, the Holy Spirit talking and working with them. Okay, to give them experiences beyond their reasoning. Reasoning doesn't save anybody. Because this is reasoning is the mind. It's the spirit that saves them. And so this is what needs to be happening for them. Okay. And your daughter, you know, sons and daughters shall prophesy and shall see vision and you shall dream dreams. So this is talking about spiritual experiences, not mental religion. That is going to be more and more evident, more and more taking place between those who call themselves believers and also those who may not be at that place, but they're going to be brought that place that way. And this is what's happening. more than anything on earth. And my manservant and my maiden servant will pour out my spirit on those day, and they shall prophesy. See, they're going to be able to see. And this is not just the prophecy that the general, the gift of prophecy. We are talking about actually be able to see the future. Be able to understand, hopefully, what's going to happen. Because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Okay, but these are just, not everybody is going to be able to do that. My servants, my men servants and maiden servants. So the people that are actually not doing their own thing, but the people that are doing the Father business, the people that are not doing this because they have a career, because they have to make the end meet at the end of the month, is because they are serving God. And that's the only purpose. And I'll show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vaporous smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon shall into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now, you know, this sounds like there are going to be scary type of events taking place. We're talking about the moon, you know, the moon into blood. You know, there have been so many blood moons this year that last year that, you know, is kind of funny. If we look at it from this point of view, if you look at it from the point of view of understanding, it's coincidences, yeah, absolutely. Okay, we don't believe in coincidences. All right, so nothing happened by chance. So, but the fact is that, the awesome day of the Lord is coming. It's getting closer, and the closer it's going to be, the more these signs are going to be increasing and accelerating. So expect that. I mean, and the news are going to say, and be scared and scare people up. And what it's going to do to us, we are going to start laughing. Because, praise the Lord, the awesome day of the Lord is coming. That shouldn't scare us. That should get us excited. Because the messes are going to be changed. This is the fixer up. Amen? And it says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the thing is, you see, even those that aren't in, they can get in very easily because it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to be so strong, so evident that people are going to be swept in. That doesn't mean everybody. Okay, they're always goats. But that doesn't matter. The point is, God is going to be moving supernaturally in a special way. But we have to understand one thing, okay? That light, God, is much more powerful than Satan. Amen. Light is much more strong than darkness. Amen. Okay? Spirit is much more powerful than the flesh. So the thing we have to remember is, where are we located? Are we in the light? Or are we in the darkness? In the light. I mean, if we know we are in the light, see, being in the light is not just a question of it's a theological or idea. It's the fact that light enables us to see. Okay. Are we in the spirit or the flesh? Well, we better learn to walk in the spirit if we want to be in the spirit, because, you can be, saved and walk in the flesh, and it's not going to be. The manifestations are going to be not that good, and you are not going to get many benefits. Are you still there? Okay, so what I'm saying is, we have to understand the power of God is greater than the power of darkness. Now, if you look at the world, In the physical, it may appear the opposite. It may appear just the other thing. It may appear, oh, you know, just all bad. Because people can't see what happened spiritually and what happened in the, you know, what happened supernaturally. They can even sometimes look at it happened that way and they dismiss it because it doesn't make sense to them. Okay. In Romans chapter 5, verse 19, says, but by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, Jesus, many will be made righteous. See, now this is the way sin and righteousness start to operate and spread. Okay. And continuing that. Moreover, the law entered that the offenses may abound. That doesn't mean that the law entered so the people were going around sinning. So that people could be able to see that there was sin. And when there is abundance of those, they are going to be able to see that something is going wrong. Hello? Okay, they didn't put the law there to make people sin. They were sinning anyway. Okay? They had to become aware of that. Okay? But where sins abound, grace abounded much more. So you see, the more there is going to be mess around, the more God, grace is going to abound. That means, you know, God is going to give even more to people because they are going to need it. And he's willing to. This is his attitude. We have to understand the way God works. We have to understand how God sees things, how God judges things, and start judging things the way he does. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace may reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see, as you know, there's going to be more sin that produces death. Okay, grace is going to be actually operating the other way. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, you know, righteousness is going to be spreading and producing eternal life. You know, but the point is there is grace come through Jesus Christ. So only that way there's going to be that manifestation. That means, you know, at the end, Jesus is going to really become the center of people's experience. Okay? This is the how they get in. Okay? That's the way they receive righteousness because it's not their righteousness is Jesus' righteousness because he, who had no sin, became sin for us so that we have the righteousness of God. It's not our righteousness. It's imputed to us. So because it's imputed to us, it's not that we can go around saying, I'm so good. Righteousness means standing before God. That means we can right stand before God no matter where we were before because we put our trust in Jesus and what he does, he takes us, he takes the sins away from us and give us what he had. And since he had nothing wrong with him, then, you know, we're going to see in a minute. Okay, but the thing is, you know, we have righteous standing before God. We shouldn't be thinking, oh, I'm deserving this. It's not, doesn't, you know, if you are right standing, there is nothing between you and God blocking. God from doing the things. But we have to come to understand, you see, this is what's going to make the difference now. This is what's going to, you know, bring the balance in a different way. Okay, the understanding on how all the different aspects and implications of what Jesus did in our life. How we come into possession of the things he did. Because we had to start with the understanding, but it's not just the understanding, it has to be the experience. Okay. And that experience come not out of your decision, but on the fact that God's grace makes it available to you. It's there, and when he has the opportunity, when he has the situation in which you are open, he is going to come in and do his knocking at the door. But he needs you to open up. You need you to let go of doing things in your flesh, in yourself, in your ability, in your thinking. You know, recently I've been doing lots of reading, lots of things, theological books and other stuff. And I can't believe the people that are in theology, they try to resolve spiritual things by their reasoning. It's completely, from my point of view, incomprehensible. Because you cannot do it. It's like, you know, I was a scientist. When I became a believer, I understood that my scientific method wasn't working and I had to put it on the shelf. That the only way I was going to get something with God is by revelation. That only the Holy Spirit can open the truth to us. There is no truth in science. I said it before and I'm saying it again. Because there is always theory. You never know anything. You know, tomorrow you're going to have a different idea than today because new experience, new evidence came through. Are you following me? So there is such a waste of time in just try to figure out things in your mind. Anyway, sometimes I'm surprised the people that supposedly are dedicated, and some of them even are, they try to solve things in their flesh instead of solving things in the spirit. Okay. Now, that means believers should not approach or try to understand things from the things that they reason, from the logic, from the physical things, from the physical evidences, from the analysis that they do. Nothing is invented by analysis. Not even in science. You always, idea pops up in your mind. And then you try to figure it out. And if it's right, you find that it's right. You know, I remember I was at the university, UBC, and I had to resolve a quantum mechanical problem. And one night I had a dream. And in the dream I sounded, you know, it was really difficult. I didn't understand what the problem was. I made it much more difficult than what it was, but actually it was an interesting problem, the way I saw it. The other one was just too simple, just to repeat what the book said. So I was trying actually to solve the problem. I actually dreamed the formula. I woke up and I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And I went to be asleep again. When I woke up, it took me a week to prove what I put down there. And when I went, and I gave, this was advanced quantum mechanics course of the Department of Physics, and, you know, I gave this as the result of the problem. And the professor said, no, that's not what I asked, but what you did is the first time anybody did anything like that. So the idea is, and he was surprised how I had to come to the solution. I didn't tell him how I did it. That shows to me, you know, the thing is, you know, that proved one thing. You know, I wasn't even saved then. But I was already had this inclination. You see, God gives you some gifts. from the beginning of the world. He has a plan for you. And he wanted me not to use in quantum mechanics or physics or whatever. He wanted me to use for his kingdom. And I'm glad he just came through. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying to you, you know, this is the way we have to learn to operate today. To be in connection with everybody, every believer should want that. To be spiritually connected with God, with the truth, not with theories, not with opinion. Okay. Now, we had to understand that. We had to believe that. And don't go anymore by the reasoning or the physical appearances, because that limits God. That limits God to the status quo when God wants to get new things in. Every day, he brings a new thing. He creates things all the time. Hallelujah. And, you know, we have to understand also one important thing. Okay. The power of Jesus, the power of God, and the power of Jesus are far superior to all the forces of darkness that you can see in the world today. There is no, we are not talking about just a bit bigger. No, they're just nothing compared to God's power. And we have to come to realize that. Because when we come to realize that, what's happening is that we stop limiting God. Because we expect the impossible from God. This is what the word says. You know, all things are possible with God. All things are possible to them that believe. So what do we believe? That the thing is so big that we cannot do it? Well, we are limiting God. And that stop. That means, you know, we have such power that we can stop God from doing things. I mean, God has given, I mean, I wouldn't have done it. You know, honestly, knowing myself and knowing men in general, women too, you know, I would not have given all this power and this authority to this kind of beings. But he is a man, he's a person of faith. He believes. He's unbelievably believer. All right? So we have to understand, you know, that Jesus, okay, is so important in all this because he showed us in practical terms for today, not just at the beginning, not just sometime, you know, with Moses, you know, he just opened up the door for everybody to come into that dimension. God tried to do that many times, even with the Jews. You know, he wanted to go get in touch with them, and he wanted them to connect with him personally, and they refused because they were afraid. That's nonsense. We should not be afraid to trust God. Now, the fact is, you know, that the proof, okay, of what Jesus did is in the resurrection. Okay. And we're going to expand on this idea because the resurrection is critical for us to be able to appropriate the proper belief, the proper understanding of that is important. Okay. With that, you see, Jesus demonstrated something that is everything that we need to know. If we grasp only that, which is given, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we may become the righteousness of God in him. You know, and becoming the righteousness of God in him is not just something that happened, boom, and you are all there. Becoming the righteousness of him, you know, is just you have to, you know, expand your righteousness in all the different areas of your life, in which your standing with God is going to be determined by your trust in him. See, you trust God, not your thinking. You trust God, not your experiences. You trust God, not your failures. You trust God, not your past. You trust God, not your mind. Now, you better use your mind, because otherwise you go around like crazy. But, you know, that doesn't exclude using your mind properly. Okay? That's the way we should operate, otherwise we are scattered. Okay? God's direction doesn't bring scattering, it brings stability, brings strength, brings, you know, the ability to stand firm and not to be tossed around. Okay? Now, so, the fact that he overcame, okay, is, you know, the fact that he was resurrected, Jesus was resurrected, okay, it shows something important that is given in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them triumphing over them in it. So here he's talking about, you know, he disarmed. It means, you know, the word there in Greek means, you know, the spoil put off, you know, wholly stripped off of the power that they had. Principalities, you know, that actually it's on the rulers, the leaders, the chief, the powerful things, you know, the powers, exousia, so the you know, the authority, there was any authority from the enemy, it was stripped away and was removed. The enemy has no authority. See, we have to understand the concept of authority. That is very important. God has all the authority. Okay, God is the most powerful authority there is, because if he says something, that's it. There is no other options. Okay, there is no other things that can come out. No, you know, I'll tell you what to do. No, he's there what to do. You know, this is the concept of authority is critical if you want to deal with God. And you have to understand it, and you have to apply, because this applies to everything you do. Okay. And I'm going to possibly expand a bit more on that. Okay. Let me read it in the Amplified version, because that helps even more. You know, Jesus disarmed the principalities and power that were ranged against us, and make a bold display and public example of them, in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. So the enemy is completely defeated. Doesn't matter what looks like, he is defeated. He has no power. He has some power, but there's nothing compared, you know, he's been stripped. The only power that he has is the power you give to him. Because he robs people from their power. You see, he deceives people, convinces them of wrong ideas, they give him the power, and then he uses it because you give up. And you listen to him instead of you submitted yourself to him, instead of you submitting yourself to God and telling, buzz off, you go. Okay? Any believer, you don't need to have a special anointing. This is Jesus did it for everybody. Is now is the part, the role we have to play is to stand in that position that, you know, and we are going to see more about that, because even for us to do that, there are some conditions. Okay. So we have to understand that the enemy in himself is defeated. But the world believes lies And so they follow up and they let him do whatever he wants to do, because, and they do it with their power, using them to mess up the whole world. Because they are blind and they don't see. So we need to see, we need to be able to perceive, we need to be able to see beyond the physical, because the physical is the, you know, is the place he plays around with. You know, he promises everything. He's a liar. Okay. So we have to learn, okay, to perceive things properly, to perceive Jesus' authority today. The enemy is defeated. We have to get that in our brain, that in our heart, that in our judgment, that, you know, no matter what the devil is doing, he's defeated, doesn't matter what it looks like. Praise the Lord. You know, but the point is, you know, you can say, you know, you can look at that, say, wait a minute, if he's defeated, why the battle takes so long? It's still going on. Why is taking that long? Because people are too ignorant. I give him the power to him. People in general, even believers, give the power to the enemy many times, because they get sucked in by their stories. Because they don't have renewed their mind like the mind of Christ. So that's why the things keep going. The things keep going, the battle keeps going, because people are giving him the authority that they have, that they should exercise to do the right thing. So, we have to understand, you know, it's not so much why this is happening. You know, the better question is, you know, whose sides are you in? You know, how do you see things? You know, are you believing in Christ? Are you in Christ? Are you standing there, or are you believing in the lies that the enemy is trying to put around? That's what keeps the things going. If everybody would change their mind and everybody become at the righteousness of God in all the areas, he's finished. Because he is finished. So he operates by stealing authority from others. It's still legal to do that, but the point is people give it to him. So if they give it to him, he can do it. He takes authority that he doesn't have. The thing is, Jesus delegated publicly his authority to us. Publicly delegated all the authority to us to operate down here. And we had to understand that, and we had, you know, and maybe sometime I had to go through that more, but the idea is that we had to understand that when he said that, he meant that he delegated that authority to us that is given in Matthew 28 in the Great Commission. You know, all authority has been given to me. This is the things we are talking about before. All the authority is being given to him. Okay. So, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Okay. Teaching them to observe the things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you, or even to the end of the world. So you see, he's always going to be us, with us. He's always going to be working for us. And we have to understand that we have to do it, the things, not because of what we are or who we are, but because we have his delegated authority. So we go and we say in the name of Jesus, we just call upon his authority. We represent his authority, which is all power and authority given to him. So when we say in the name of Jesus, it's not a formula. You know, but we have to understand that the name of Jesus doesn't mean the sound of the name. That's crazy, but that's what, in the past was done. I mean, the sound, people think the sound is magical. I mean, the Hebrew, the Jews were meditating on the sound of the name of God. The sound doesn't make any difference. You can say all the sounds you want. That's witchcraft. Doesn't have the sound as only physical power. What has power is what is behind the sound. What the sound implies. The fact that you say Jesus' name, you can say, somebody goes around swearing using that name all the time. Now, there's something wrong with them. There's nothing magical about that name because they use it the wrong way too. What the name is that what he did, what he achieved. See, your name is who you are. When a policeman comes to you and says, in the name of the government, stop, you stop. Why? Because he's going to make you stop. Well, if you're stronger and bigger than they are, some people think they are, they're going to beat up the policeman. Well, they come in against an authority bigger than their authority. And it's not just the policeman that counts. It's all the government behind, the ability that the government behind has to stop you and imprison you and even, put you in jail. You see that? When you say in the name of Jesus, you're not just talking about, a religious, little prayer. What you are saying is, with the authority that Jesus, the way he conquered all principalities and powers, I come to you because I have the same power given to me because he is behind me. You can do whatever you want with me. You are there to deal with him. So that's the way. So, when we come with that kind of a statement, what we have to do is to realize what is backing, who is backing us up. What kind of authority, what kind of power, what kind of, how he has given, authorized us, and we had to qualify that, authorize us. He talked about it to his disciples. Not to everybody, not to everybody who around saying the name of Jesus. But, unless you are his disciples, you are not qualified. I mean, if you just go around, not understanding anything and not having any training and not having any understanding of spiritual thing, and you go around in the name of Jesus, the devil knows very well what you know and they laugh at your face. But if you know where you stand, you speak, they tremble because they know they have to obey you. Are you still with me? Okay, well, we have to understand, this is why it's so important. Jesus delegated his authority to us. And we should see the impact of that in our actions. Not only that, we should see. You see, we cannot go by the physical. We should believe first in the impact of what we say, of the authority that we have. Okay. And this is why we had to get revelation about that. Not just listening to what I said today is going to do the whole job. See, Paul was preaching the same thing. He didn't say, but now because I told you the gospel, now go ahead and do all the things that I'm doing. He didn't say that. He went to the Ephesians. There was a church that was, in the world and everything else. And he was very specific in instructing them. Okay? And he told them, and he prayed for them. And he has believed that what you had to do is to pray so that you get this revelation and the understanding of these things. And you do the prayer that Paul put to the Ephesians every day until you get it. I remember, you know, a number of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I started to do that. I did that every day aloud. I was going around and pray, you know, in the spirit, you know, and asking for that revelation. We are going to read today, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened so that you may know what is, you know, the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory and the inheritance in the saints. See, he's talking about you. Okay? Not only to the Ephesians. So that prayer applies to you just as much as the Ephesian people. But you had to, if you want to get to a place that Paul was, and that is what we should all aspire and possibly go even further. We should start praying the prayer to get that spirit of revelation and understanding. Okay? That he was praying. And that and what is the exceedingly greatness of the power toward you, toward us who believe. The exceedingly power toward you who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, not your power. See, with his authority. Okay. When you operate at a certain level of authority, anybody that tries to stop you with less authority, they cannot do it. But you had to know that you had the authority. Because, you know, authority is not something you see. You cannot see a person's authority by just looking at them. Or you can see some form of authority. If you see somebody big and strong and everything else, you know, and you look at the physical, you know, and you are little, tiny, puny, and everything else, you know, you say, well, you know, he's going to beat me up. And so you call that authority because he, you know, has something beyond what you see. And that is the strength, the power that they have, and you don't have much power. But you don't look at the physical. You look at the spiritual component, and that is completely different. The guy can be big as a giant, and you can be as small as David, and you can beat him up. Hello? You know, I always remember this guy, you know, that was many years ago. I was ministering to this person that was demon-possessed. I was had lots of demons and was in drugs and everything else. And, you know, we brought him to the Lord and everything else, but, you know, sometimes these things work on them. So one day he got the idea, I'm going to go to Maurizio's house and I'm going to beat him up. The guy was big, strong, was like a bull. I'm not that way. I didn't know that. Okay, I didn't know anything. One day, he knocked on my door. I opened up. Oh, please come in. You know, I said, we're going to work more, minister to you, you know. And he was there, didn't say anything. He was talking to me for 5 minutes and then left. The following day, he called me up, said, you know, I came to beat you up yesterday. I couldn't. I got in. I was paralyzed. I didn't need to do anything. He knew that the authority, the strength that he had physically, didn't compare to the strength that was in me spiritually. Amen? I mean, that's a true story. I can, you know, if I see the guy, I can even tell this was the guy. I see him other times too, and now not coming here, but. See, this is the difference that we had to understand. You see, now, a lot of people, this is why, you know, lots of people do deliverance and they get beaten up by the people that's demonized. That's ridiculous. I know lots of people that happens to them. I mean, if you get beaten up, that means you don't have authority. Just as simple as that. You don't even need to defend yourself. The son of Shiva got beaten up. But we are not the son of Shiva if you are in Christ. So we have to start thinking in the right way. We start believing in the right way. We start standing on what we have. Now this year we are going to stand where we are. I believe that that's going to happen for more people. I would like everybody to be there. I want everybody to be farther more in that than anybody of us for now is. So that we are not moved. I shall not be moved. It's not just a little song. It's a reality that we had to experience and we had to walk by. But, you know, you had to stop looking at the physical evidences. Because on time, the physical evidences take time to change. Okay, praise the Lord. I think we had to close. Authority. Start meditating. Take that scripture. Take Ephesians. Yeah. The Ephesian scripture that I read to you, Ephesians 3, 1:18. Yeah, Ephesians 1:18. And, you know, meditate on it. Start reading it, you know, memorizing it. That's what I did too. I just spend time in it until it starts opening up to you. Don't just repeat it like, you know, just the way Edens do, you know, or false religions do, just repeating things, thinking that it's going to work. No, you had to put your mind in the thing that you are saying. You had to, you know, even think each word that is there to taste it, to perceive it, to receive it, to appropriate it, to make it real to you. Even just 3 words there, just focus on them. Spend time so that you grasp what God is trying to show you, and you start applying, start walking in that way. Make that frame your way of thinking in terms of your power, your authority. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Let's go before the Lord in prayer so that we open up to the truth that is in us. Praise you, Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for what Jesus did for us, for enabling us to operate in his authority, so that we know that beyond us, the power that he had is operating, that we can trust that God is with us to protect us, to guide us, to open the truth to us, and to enable us to exercise our authority, which is Jesus' authority, and the power that is God's power to break down all bondages, all limitations, all problems, all sicknesses, all diseases, all confusions, everything that is of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we just praise you that we can use that name, Lord, to operate in that power. Not just making it a prayer, but as a truth that we speak because of our faith. And the victory that Jesus conquered is ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.